Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. American poet laureate Robert Frost said in three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life, and those three words are, it goes on. And today's show is about standing up to life and managing challenges and transitions through bold, creative living. We'll end the hour with two lively octogenarians. They are retired professors, founders of the Elder Chicks blog, and authors of The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. We'll also talk with writer, artist, and strategist Becky Blades, who wrote a coming-of-age book as her eldest daughter flew the family nest and headed to Harvard. Her book is called Do Your Laundry or You'll Die Alone. But first, there are those times when life brings you to your knees, and Nancy Sharp's story of love, loss, and hope is described as essential reading for anyone facing adversity, which, let's face it, is pretty much all of us. Nancy Sharp is a writer and keynote speaker. She talks about loss, wellness, courage, and bold living. She holds an MFA in creative nonfiction from Goucher College and writes regularly for the Huffington Post and various other media, including national magazines and newspapers. She also authors two blogs, Vivid Living, Life in Full Bloom, Thorns and All, and Tasting Life with Nancy Sharp. And she's written an excellent memoir called Both Sides Now, A True Story of Love, Loss, and Bold Living. Nancy Sharp, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vicki, and I'm really quite humbled to be following in the heels of Robert Frost. Yes, it does go on.
Well, you have some great sayings of your own, and we'll definitely talk about some of those as we go along. I want to begin with how this all really began for you. You were married to a wonderful man named Brett. He died 10 years ago on February 21st, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't yet reached his 40th birthday.
Right.
And this all began for you and him, really, with a bout of constant hiccups.
It did. It was so strange. The whole cancer diagnosis started because Brett began to hiccup and burp. And, I mean, it really was funny at first until it wasn't, because he couldn't stop. And one symptom morphed into another and another and another. And about 8.5 months later, after he'd lost a lot of weight and, you know, began to develop headaches and got dizzy when he turned his head, then we found out through an MRI that, in fact, he had a brain tumor. You know, I'm told that gastrointestinal symptoms, you know, there's more of a link between gastro symptoms with children and the suspicion of a brain tumor, but with adults, that isn't the case. And the reason why his symptoms first presented where they did is because the brain tumor was lodged around the brain stem, which controls the digestive tract.
Oh, see, that makes sense. It does sound very innocuous when you first hear that, you know, somebody hiccuping, but boy, that's... I think I'll look at hiccups a little differently.
Not everybody should be worried if they hiccup
Absolutely.
And burp that they're going to have a brain tumor.
Absolutely.
That would not be helpful.
That would not be at all helpful.
No.
So you had a very up and down journey with this. He did recuperate. He seemed to be cancer free. And on the very day that you gave birth to premature twins, you find out later on that day that the cancer has returned. So tell us about that for you, because that, I mean, talk about, you know, an almighty high and an almighty low.
Right. It was the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Just, you know, because Brett had been diagnosed before we decided to have children. And, you know, he was doing so, so well, as you indicated, about a year or so after all the surgery and the radiation and the treatment. I mean, he was symptom-free. He was working full-time. He had a lot of energy. And life for us really did return to that new normal. And I suppose that whether it's fair or not, there was a part of us that felt, you know, we were due. We were due some good fortune. And when eventually we did get pregnant with twins, we thought, yes, life is going to be good again. And it was just, you know, stunning. I mean, the whole thing was stunning because I did deliver early. I wasn't supposed to deliver that early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but to get a phone call later that day from Brett's neuro-oncologist from Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in New York saying that the routine MRI he'd taken just a few days prior had come back very bad, it was just shattering. It was so hard to hold it together. And that's really one of the questions that I wanted to explore in my memoir, Both Sides Now. How is it that you hold life and death in the same moment? Because that is really a universal question. It just happened kind of out of order for me. But right. So often in life, I think we experience highs and lows, and that's just life, both sides now.
Yeah, it is. It's the life cycle. It does not make it any easier to deal with. And your book is very inspirational. You know, somebody might think I don't want to read a book that's about this, but it's about so much more. It's about bold living. And
thank you for saying that. That is true.
Yeah.
And it's not just for people who have had loss. It's for people who feel that, for whom life feels hard. It's for people who somehow feel they're facing adversity in life and don't want to be in stasis, and they need to figure out a way and to move their lives in a bolder direction.
Yeah. I love that I read you called your book Both Sides Now because of the Joni Mitchell song, which you played at Brett's funeral, and because you do look at life both sides now.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say yes. That song became a meditation for me on mourning and on life. And to this day, every time I hear it, even all these years later, it speaks to me.
Mm-hmm. You had, obviously, very young children. They were about three, I think, when he
they
actually...
They were two and a half when Brett died. And they have no memories of him, which is quite, quite sad. You know, he exists for them as a... almost like an apparition, and sometimes that grief is larger than life because they don't have any real memories other than pictures and stories and what we tell them. But, you know, it's what it is. I try very hard to keep Brett's memory alive mm-hmm. for them, even though they don't have the concrete memories. It's so important that we do that because he continues to live in them.
Yeah. You said the year before he died, you bought him a card with the following passage from Oliver Wendell Holmes, which said, "I find that the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we're moving." And something that you said that I love is that the past is simply part of our story, not the whole story. And you certainly did have your trials and tribulations, and you talk about how it's not easy, and it's not easy for your kids, but you did decide to move on, and at some point you decide to move to Colorado. So tell us why the move to Colorado.
Well, that's a great question, and that is really where the book leaves off, is with me having recasted my life in Colorado. Let's see, Colorado for a few reasons. If anybody has not been to Colorado, please book your tickets soon. The Rocky Mountains of Colorado are so majestic and awesome, and I don't like to use that word awesome because it becomes so cliched, but they truly are awesome. And as long as I've been coming to Colorado, and I would say I've been visiting this beautiful state since I was 18 years old because my college roommate lived here, and I would come and visit she and her family. And then Brett and I would come and vacation here with she and her family. And every time we visited this beautiful place, we felt this sense of belonging and being at peace with the larger world around us. You know, having raised my children, having lived in New York City for 18 years, was a very, very frenetic, fast-paced mm-hmm. lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And after experiencing what I did, I felt that my children and I really needed breathing space. And, you know, the cost of living was also less out here than it was in the East Coast. And everything about this calmer, more open lifestyle that would allow me to look to the mountains really felt just right.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break on that note. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened when you do move to Colorado and some of your bold living philosophy. We'll share that with our listeners, too. I'm talking with Nancy Sharp. Her book is called Both Sides Now, A True Story of Love, Loss, and Bold Living. You know how much I love that word, bold. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions. I recall, I really don't know love at all.
And welcome back, everyone. And of course, that song, Both Sides Now, became the catalyst for my guest's book, Both Sides Now, A Story, a True Story of Love, Loss, and Bold Living. My guest is Nancy Sharp. She's a writer and keynote speaker, and she talks about loss, wellness, courage, and bold living. So we heard the first part of Nancy's story, and just as a reminder, she says, the past is simply part of our story, just not the whole story. After losing your husband, Nancy, a couple of years later, decide to move to Colorado. It's a place that Brett, your husband, actually dreamed of going to live. And you
he
said
did. We actually had a house that we always pined for here on 3rd and Claremont in Denver. And it was just this very pretty house that overlooked a park. And we would always joke every time we came, there's our house. Who's living in our house?
Well, you get there and you get settled in. I'm not sure. I don't remember how long after you moved there, but you made a move, you reached out, and this is part of our recovery, is reaching out too. Bold move and reached out to a TV news anchor. Tell us the story there, if you would.
Well, right. And, you know, here it is. I had just moved myself across the country with 5-year-old twins. I had no family. And so I was feeling very emboldened by everything I was doing to make a new life for myself in Denver. And along those lines, I happened to be reading about 6-7 months after I had arrived here. I was reading the newspaper, and they were talking about how an ABC TV news anchor named Steve Saunders was featured as one of Denver's most eligible singles. And I read that he, too, had been widowed with 2 children. And immediately, I was curious. I wanted to know who he was. So I went to a bookstore, and I got the magazine, and I thought he was very attractive. And, of course, then I watched the local news that night. and I decided, you know, why not? Maybe we could be friends. So I reached out and I sent him an email and a photo. He didn't respond at first. And about 2 weeks went by and I thought, oh, well, maybe it went to spam, or, you know, he was probably inundated, which he was, it turned out, with
secrets. I'm sure.
But I decided, you know, maybe he never got it. So I thought, well, I'm just going to send it again. And, you know, it was that same voice that was egging me on in life, just said, try again. So I did, and this time he responded within the hour, and he was very apologetic for not having gotten back to me. And it was really funny because even though, you know, he was a news anchor and in the public eye, he was really very shy in his private life, and he hadn't dated in the 4 years since his wife had died of pancreatic cancer. So this was kind of new for him. I had dated a little bit, but I really never thought anything serious would develop because that's some story, isn't it?
It is some story.
But everybody says, when's the movie going to be made? But it was so magical. It really was. And, you know, our losses would not be enough to sustain a relationship. But we discovered that we have so much in common. But, you know, we do have these pasts that live among us, but in order for our relationship to work today, we have to allow the past to be a part of the present, but just not the whole part.
Right. And, you know, blending families, I mean, there are so many challenges along the way here. It does sound, you know, like a fairy story, but he had two children. They did remember their mother. And so,
of
course,
they were 10 and 11, very bad ages developmentally.
Huge loss then. And you're coming in, and you said in the book, I didn't want to replace, I think Pam was her name. I didn't want to replace her. But so tell us how you did deal with that, because I know you had a lot of challenges around that to begin with.
You know, yeah, and it happened in so many different levels. I mean, one thing that is really, it was really quite profound is Steve's youngest son, Dylan, who was, you know, he was in high school at the time, and he really, really put up a fight about not wanting to leave his childhood home, the home that he had shared with his mother. And we had to say to him when we were making plans to get married, you know, Dylan, your mother does not live on the walls of the home. She lives in your heart. And over time, you know, he did come to see that actually there was something really nice about putting down new roots.
Yes.
So, but you know, it's hard enough, death and remembrance are hard enough, I think, for adults, but for kids, and I guess I'm told that the mind is not really formed until person reaches 25 years of age. We have four children, all of whom are under 25. So we're still evolving.
Right, right. A journey. It's all a journey.
It is definitely a journey. And, you know, Steve's oldest son, Ryan, just wanted to get out of that house as soon as possible. For him, it held so many memories.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's different. You say
Everybody's different.
You say many people call your story a happy one. You say, I smile and say thank you, but never once do I feel giddy. You also say, among all of the lessons born from losing your husband to cancer, the one you see clearest is this. The best way to memorialize a loved one is to choose life. So when life does get hard, and I know it does, and I know it does for your children, what does keep you going forward?
taking a walk, honestly, looking at the mountains, going skiing, going for a hike when the weather permits. Really sort of being outdoors, feeling a small part of the larger world around us, eating his favorite food that Brett would have liked, you know, and just making it okay to feel what you feel. I mean, just last night, my son was having a moment, which was really pretty unusual. Now, my twins are 12. I have girl-boy twins, and he was asking for a memory blanket that I had made for the children after Brett died, using some of his favorite pieces of clothing. And I knew that, you know, that those scraps would become really important to them because they could then touch things that he had actually worn. My daughter sleeps with her memory blanket every night, but my son hasn't done so in several years. And for whatever reason, he was thinking about his dad and needed some connection.
And it can be just a very small thing like that that makes all the difference. I have my dad's pocket watch, and sometimes I'll slip that into my pocket. You know,
right?
It has to be just something very Very small, but it's a little connection there.
Right. And sometimes just stopping and taking a deep breath also helps me. Lighting a candle, taking a bath. I mean, it just, I think that when you just slowing down a little bit and stepping outside of yourself allows you to process things a little bit differently,
right.
Which is why I'm so drawn to the mountains.
Right, right. I can definitely understand that. So bold is a big word throughout your book, throughout the work that you do in general. Tell us what that means to you, Nancy, because everybody's going to interpret it a little differently.
I think what it means to me is is the knowledge that no matter what happens to us in life, we always have options. We always have choices to go forward, and that we as human beings really are not meant to be in stasis. And so it's up to us to move our lives in a bolder direction. And that, to me, means living life fully every single day. Now, obviously, we can't always do everything we want to do every minute of the day, but it means making choices and living our passions and being the best people that we can be, and trying to be really grateful and mindful, if you will, about all that is good in life. Because all that is good in life eventually, I believe, overweighs all that is sad and hard in life.
Right, right. You say, I was reading your blog, and you say in there that life came full circle for you last fall when you visited Israel for the first time on a women's mission for the Jewish Renaissance Women's Project. Tell us a little bit about that and what, how that brought you full circle in your life, Nancy.
Well, it has to do with identity. You know, I was brought up Jewish, but I never really felt any kind of a calling. It was more of a cultural thing. My family went to temple twice a year, like a lot of very secular Jews. And, you know, I did not really feel spiritually inclined and sort of aligned with the Jewish faith until after Brett died. And it happened in a really circuitous way because I was searching for a bereavement group where I would fit in with other young people. And I somehow got connected to this incredible synagogue on the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and they heard the story, and it so happened that there were a few other young women there who had been widowed in 9/11, and I met people for the first time who had had losses, and the rabbis there were so marvelous to me that I began to go regularly to Friday night services, and it sustained me. And that really helped me make that connection. And so when the opportunity came up all these years later to go to Israel as part of this mission, it made me just made me think a lot about my identity overall. And I don't care what religion you are, but to touch that wall, the Western wall, is a very, very powerful experience. And to pray for all those loved and lost, not just Brett, but so many people, and to pray for my life going forward, my future, and to do so, Jerusalem is just, it's a magical place. It really is.
Yeah, it sounds
There's
like...
There's so much history and identity in Israel, and that's really what spoke to me.
Yeah, everybody I know who's been there has been touched by it at some level, regardless of, you know, religious, ethnic background. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So when you look back, Nancy, you obviously have gone through many, many changes that has changed you yourself. What's the final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
When life hands you the unthinkable, you must find new ways to see. Healing takes time, and seeing takes time. And I would really encourage listeners to give themselves the gift of time and of being able to see and expand their vision.
I think that's a great note to end that on. Nancy Sharp, thank you so much for being with us. I thought the book was really honest. And I love the way you did it. You didn't go chronologically necessarily in this. You You told short vignettes of how you were feeling at certain times.
Right, because I felt that was truer to the experience of grieving also. I mean, grief and mourning, it's so fragmented. There's nothing linear about the experience.
That's for sure.
And I wanted readers to be able to process and to reflect on their own experiences and not get caught up in a lot of words.
Yeah. Well, the book is called Both Sides Now, A True Story of Love, Loss, and Bold Living. And you can find out more about Nancy and her work at nancysharp.net, nancysharp.net. Thanks, Nancy, for being with us today. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you, everybody.
And coming up next, artist, entrepreneur, and author on creative, adventurous living, Becky Blades. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. In our third Monday series, we'll share how to get more time off to enjoy the summer, regardless of how busy you are at work. How to stand up to your bully boss and ask for what you need. And how you or your family member can transition smoothly from a military to civilian career. That's all coming up Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for upcoming show details and podcasts.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everybody. My next guest is Becky Blades. She is an artist, entrepreneur, and an author on creative, adventurous living. She's a graduate of the University of Missouri School of Journalism and has worked as a reporter, marketing copywriter, publicist, and crisis communications expert. And her new book is called Do Your Laundry or You'll Die Alone, advice your mom would give if she thought you were listening. Becky Blades, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I just read that you, part of your career, you were a crisis communications expert, and this is kind of what you were doing with this book, because your daughter's heading out the door to Harvard, and you're panicking, did I tell her everything she needs to know?
Exactly. Exactly. So the way I did it is I sat down and made a plan, and I tried to plan and write down and give lectures on all those things that I had forgotten to tell her, starting with her senior year in high school. And you can imagine how that went over. It did not go over well.
Well, did she not? You did that in a letter, though, right? And then she sent you a letter back saying, Mom, what did she say?
Well, I started journaling. So the story was really I kind of had that moment. I felt like it was a crisis. She only had a year left, and she wasn't ready for the world. Her laundry wasn't done, ever. So I sat down, and with the resolve that over-controlling women have, I decided I needed a plan, I needed a list, and all of the things I needed to tell her were going to happen in the next 12 months before she left home. And so I started being a really unpleasant person to live with, and then stepped back and started putting it in my journal. I realized this is not her problem, it's my problem. It was part of the whole letting go process that I didn't feel like I had raised the perfect person or done my job well. So I put it all in a letter or in my journal, mm-hmm. and turned it into a letter and hit the send button after she'd been tucked into college for about a week.
There you go. So some of the things you have in here, it's beautifully illustrated. You did all the illustration yourself?
Yes, I do. After I sold my last business, I decided art was something I'd never really gotten to explore. So the past few years, I've been doing mixed media artwork, which is a lot of ephemera, lace, and documents that I've harvested on vacations in Europe, and created whimsical, very feminine artwork, and a lot of it is kind of storytelling. So when my daughter did write me back, she said, "Mom, this should be a book, and you should put your artwork in it, and you're always telling us to get our art out in the world and our words out in the world, and so you need to do this." And, you know, when your kid tells you something and the kids are watching, you kind of have to step up.
Right, right. And, you know, some people might say, well, boy, by the time they're leaving home, it's too late to grab their attention here. But this is like a beautiful little gift book you could hand to somebody and they can just pick it up and flip through it and read. I like this page. Forget bad memories. Forget bad hair days. Sometimes forget to be afraid. Remember, however, to be afraid of the truly scary things of losing your curiosity, of bruising your hope, and of developing bunions, which will severely limit your footwear choice.
You picked one of my favorite pages. And, you know, that's kind of how I think you have to treat it with this generation, is light, put some of their perspective in it. And if you have to deal with heavy topics, like I think, sometimes forget to be afraid, which if that were a lecture coming from a mom, you know, have courage, do what you want to do. They're not going to listen to their mom saying that. That has turned into a peer conversation by the time they're 18.
That's right.
But, you know, moms want to say it too. Moms want to say, you know, that bad hair day was one day, but you know, your dreams are here for the taking. So you got to not be afraid of that. Don't forget the important things.
Right, right. This made me smile because this happened to me once when I was really, really skinny, I might add. But I happened to have a pair of dungarees on and they poofed out in the tummy area. And it said, don't assume someone is pregnant by the way she looks. There's no graceful way to take it back. So never say when are you due if you don't know somebody's expecting, basically.
I know. Haven't we all done that? You think you're too old, but I've done that.
So apart from, the book, let's talk about, you know, what was going on with you. Because, you know, empty nest syndrome, we're talking a lot about transitions today. And I thought this is a great light way of looking at a major transition, actually, because when kids leave the home, and as you said, you called yourself earlier an over-controlling mom. You know, it can be very devastating to parents, not just moms, but to dads, too. I've seen all kinds of weird happenings when, you know, a home becomes an empty nest. So how did you personally cope with it? What changed in your life?
Well, we're still not totally empty. We have one at home, but it was that starting of that process. And I listened to your previous interviewer, there's, you know, life heaps pain on you that you don't expect, but this is one of those expected transitions. We if we do our job right, they're going to go. And so Taylor, my firstborn, was my first, and when she was a senior in high school, I really started thinking, because now senior year is all about getting ready for college and getting into college, and so it just hit me on that day that this is the beginning of an end. And so I think starting early is one technique, is starting to think about those things that you will lament. And doing it as a couple is important, but each parent has their own things that they're going to miss because, you know, there's four of us here, and, you know, there were four of us here in this house, and it's going to be very different. So one of the things I went through was this lamenting her as my project, which we all know how just sick that sounds. But I think I've had more than one mom say, that's how I feel about it. And, and you look at them when they're ready to walk out the door, and if you're feeling really good about them, then it's tragically sad because here's this thing you've worked on, and they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's not the healthy way to look at it. But in my research, I did find out about empty nesting that it is more it's less painful if we feel like our kids are ready. So doesn't that make sense? You know,
it does make sense. I remember my dad, and my parents always encouraged great freedom and independence. But I remember him saying to me once, it is the hardest thing in the world to let your child fly. Doesn't matter how old they are.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a universal thing.
Yes, and with girls, we worry about their safety, but we mostly worry about their happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the laundry title, it is just a metaphor. It's not a book about laundry. But for her, it was the thing that I worried about because I thought, if she doesn't learn how to do her laundry and take care of herself and not let things pile up and get overwhelmed, she's not going to know how to be happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I hear moms say about daughters. And I don't think I know what fathers and sons, or I don't know the boy part because I only have girls.
But that's a good metaphor.
Girls, it's about safety and happiness, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a good metaphor. Don't let your laundry pile up, because that's what, you know, we can do in life, and then we become overwhelmed. You say that you've, and you say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, it's not what you finish, but what you start that counts. And you say you've proudly started 2,865 projects. Two of them are about to launch. Those are your two daughters. You finished 127. So tell us what you mean by that.
Well, that's kind of what I was doing before this book project, is starting, whether it's a business or an art project. I am in a stage of life. I'm 55, and I've done, the career thing that seemed kind of obligatory. But I think that we are all creative beings, and that we're, you know, this is certainly a first world problem, but if we're in a position to kind of choose what we get to do for a living for a while, or we can be creative, whether it's starting a social program or a birthday party, we are meant to create. And the best part is the starting part. And I have fewer regrets if there's something I think I want to do and I go ahead and start it, and then it's not, doesn't turn out the way I want it, or it's not as fun as I thought it would be. I'd much rather toss it to the side and start something else than to wonder, what if I'd started that book? What if I'd started writing that song?
Right.
And it's different for everybody, but that also is getting me through this big transition, because my girls are starting their lives. They're in the most exciting time of their lives. And I've seen other parents kind of try to insert themselves into their kids' times instead of their own exciting time. It's a rebirth for a relationship or a new stage of life. So starting, to me, and startistry is what I call it, is just kind of a life philosophy for me right now.
Right. And I've seen the book described as wise counsel for women of all ages, reminding us to trust our instincts and to show our dreams who's boss. So now you've got one daughter out the door. You've got another one heading out soon. You finished this book. What are you working on right now to keep your dreams going?
Oh, thanks for that. I think finishing, the marketing of a book is a project in and of itself.
Yes,
and I've not done it before, so that's kind of my project. I'm learning social media, which I kind of had avoided. So Twitter and Pinterest have become good ways to get the word out on a book. So I'm doing a lot of learning.
Yeah. I'm keeping busy by the sound of it. And it is a really fun book, and it is beautifully illustrated, Becky. So a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, I think the final book in the page, I mean, the final pages in the book says, you are enough. And I remember this kind of feeling after I was writing all this stuff to my daughter saying, and do this and don't do this. I'll just read a little bit of it.
Yeah,
the
that'd
last
be great.
Number 269 says, enough already. You're entering a stage of life that is all about adding things. You'll be adding credentials to your resume, skills to your repertoire, and friends to your contact list. You'll be testing your capacity, finding just how much you can hold and control, how much you can do and know. Know this first. You are enough. Right here, right now, you know enough to make your way in the world. You have enough to succeed. You hold enough to find happiness. With the family, friends, and faith you possess right now, you can live a life that billions around the world would envy. And most important, you are all you need to be. You are already enough.
That's lovely. Oh. And that's a perfect, perfect note to end on. Thank you very much for reading that to us. And I know listeners can find out more about you and your work at laundryordie.com, right? That's right, laundryordie.com,
right?
That's right,
laundryordie.com. Do your laundry costs about $20,000 as a URL, so my kid said, laundry or die, that's cool.
Okay. So thank you, Becky Blades. Thank you so much for being with us. And the book again, Do Your Laundry or You'll Die Alone, advice your mom would give you if she thought you were listening. Fun, fun book, beautifully illustrated. Thanks, Becky, for being with us.
And thank you, Becky.
Yeah, please do stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk in the next segment with Dr. Thelma Rees and Dr. Roberta Fleischer about the new senior woman. They say 80s is the new 60. Please stay with us.
Advice for the young at heart. Soon we will be older. When we're gonna make it work.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, March 16th, always entertaining Kevin McDonald and gifted medium and animal intuitive Kim Miller will host the show for me. They'll have open phone lines throughout the show. Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. She can also tell you why your animal friend does stuff and what to do to change unwanted behavior or illness. So give her a call on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Advice for the young at heart. Soon we will be older. We can do anything that we want.
And welcome back, everyone. And that's so true. We can do anything we want. And I have a wonderful 80-year-old lady with us right now who's full of life. Her name is Dr. Thelma Rees. She's a retired professor of English and education She created the Advisory Council for Hooked on Phonics and was its spokesperson in the 90s. In that role, and as director of the Mayor's Commission on Literacy for the City of Philadelphia, she appeared frequently on television and hosted a cable show in Philadelphia. She currently writes the monthly family column for Right Sidewire, and together she and her co-author created and maintain the elderchicks.com blog. And they're also weekly on the Armstrong Williams Show on Sirius Radio as he plumbs the wisdom of the elder chicks. And I want to welcome Dr. Thelma Reese with us today. Welcome, Thelma.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
And I just want to give Barbara a shout out because she's a little under the weather today. She, too, is a retired professor, the author of many articles, and has done great work, too. But together, you formed this blog called Elder Chicks, and
right.
You wrote a new book called The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. And before we came live, you said to me, you feel as though you've just given birth at 80.
Exactly.
So tell me.
First published book. So that's been exciting to do this now. We actually started thinking about it several years ago. And when we did, our daughters, boomers, said, oh, well, you should have a blog. And, of course, we said, what's a blog? But we soon learned, and it is a wonderful blog, Elder Chicks, and has people writing from all over. And the reason we started thinking about it was we looked around in our retirement from being professors and thought, well, there are an awful lot of our contemporaries who look like they're doing this aging thing very well, seem very engaged in the world and leading lives that they're relatively satisfied with. And there are others who are just the opposite. What is it that's making the difference?
Yeah.
What can we find out?
And isn't that fascinating, looking at the difference, you know, the difference between people who are successful and not successful, the people
right.
who are living well and not living well? There seems to be hardly any subject in this book that you don't touch. You talk about seniors dealing with adult children who still have sibling rivalry going on. You talk about, you know, having adult children who are gay. What happens when they don't like you, when an older person gets a new partner and your kids don't like that new partner? You share stories about health, separation, loss, whether we should knit or rollerblade. And you did this by literally interviewing, I don't know how many women. Do you even know how
over
many women?
200.
Over 200. And then you had what you called lunch and listen sessions, where you'd have mm-hmm. lunch and people would just generally talk.
Right. So all of these stories are the stories of people that we met or gathered together. We didn't call them interviews so much as conversations.
Mm.
And the ones that seemed so particularly interesting and cut across all kinds of lines were the ones that we put in this book. We found the subject matter by talking to so many people and realizing these were the topics that came up for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to know what to do or wants to talk about their experience with loss and with their health. Everyone has things to say about family. Almost everyone was very vocal about downsizing, which we came to realize might be a metaphor for other parts of life, as well as getting rid of the furniture.
Right, right.
And what we found, too, was that all of these things cut across every ethnic and educational level line. These were things that really applied to people at every level of society, at every part of society.
Right.
And that's what we were interested in. Frankly, there's nobody in the book who has a limo waiting outside
right.
for them.
Right.
There are people who have been very successful materially and people who are truly not. but are living very well.
You said in the book you were struck by something that you rarely asked directly, but that underlies so much in the life of women at every stage of life. And that was the role of friends and the bonds of friendship, which for many you say is every bit as strong as the bonds of family, and for some even stronger.
Yes, I think it's always there for women. That's why we knew women would want to hear. We're all interested in other women's stories, so much more than men are. And, we're starting to interview for the new senior man.
Oh, good.
Of course, we realize that men are not going to buy that book, but women will. And
right.
They'll hand it to men and say, here, read this.
Right.
Find something out about yourself. Because men are not nearly as curious about other people as women are. But the friendships among women, I think, are really, really do provide strong bonds. And we see it all through life, and particularly, I think, as we get older.
Absolutely. And since we've talked about loss throughout the show today, loss and moving forward and living boldly, as we age, loss isn't just about losing people. We can be mourning our loss of physical strength or mental acuity, a lot of different things. But let's look at losing a loved one, because there was a story in there that caught my eye. I think her name was Marianne. And she said that some people become their loss. And I've seen people in that situation when they become too comfortable and it becomes their whole story and not, as my first guest said, just part of
just
the story.
Some people become their illness.
Yes. Yeah.
They never allow themselves to emerge. But I think Bobby, my co-author and friend, puts it very well, that when she came out of a period of true grief, when her husband died, they had a long and wonderful marriage, she said she realized that there was nothing that she didn't want to think about because it had been a wonderful marriage. She was so fortunate. She wanted to think about it. And one of the most profound losses, of course, is of a child. And that, too, if you read about Blanche Burton Lyles, who's an extraordinary woman, who lost her only son when he was about 30, and for many years, and she's a deeply religious woman, too, for many years she said she just couldn't bear to think about it. And eventually, as she emerged, she started bringing out things that he had made and done. He was very clever artist and funny and made a lot of cartoons. And she said she was able to laugh at these things and enjoy them again. And her final realization was, I'll never forget what she said. She said, I realized it had been an honor to be his mother.
Yes, and I think you definitely discuss that in the book, and my first guest said that too, that we have an obligation to honor those people by living well, I think.
Exactly.
So,
and keeping them in mind.
Yes.
In our hearts and our minds.
Yes. Well, we are right at the end of our segment. It goes by very quickly. So I want to tell listeners where they can find out more about you. The book is called The Senior Woman. Reinventing. The new senior woman. Can't see even with my glasses on today. The new senior woman, reinventing the years beyond midlife. And that's written by Dr. Barbara M. Fleischer and Dr. Thelma Reese. And Dr. Thelma Reese, thank you so much for being with us today. And your blog is elderchicks.com, elderchicks.com. And the website for the book is thenewseniorwoman.com, thenewseniorwoman.com. And I want to just say, I want to thank you for being with us today. And
thank you so much.
Wonderful talking with you. And I know that you don't like, you actually don't like that phrase that 80 is the new 60. You say 80 is the new 80, and I want to thank you for being with us today.
It's great to be 80.
Own it, and you own it well.
I get through the security line at the airport so fast, I can't believe it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I want to thank each of you for joining us today and spending this hour with us. I think we had three great guests on today. If you have any questions or feedback on today's show, you can reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or at info@conversationslive.net. And the podcast will be up on the website at conversationslive.net by tomorrow at the latest. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for tuning into Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.